watching Tottenham on a Tuesday night. You play Thursday cause you're... What a feeling, what a night. Oh, what a night. Watching Tottenham on a Tuesday night. You play Thursday cause you're...
Welcome to a What a Night, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network, where we talk things, all things Tottenham Hotspur. Joining me, Sean Walsh, does every week, is my mate, Jude Summerfield. Jude, how are you doing?
I'm good, my mate, Sean Walsh. Very pleasant weekend, filled with hope and then a little chaos from elsewhere in other, other areas of the Premier League. So, you know, we got our fill and then the gods of the Premier League gave us some more the day after, so... Yeah, been a very entertaining couple of days.
It has
How
been.
Are you doing, you know, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I was just going to say, I thought, well, my weekend got off to the worst start because I watched the Friday Night Football with Arsenal winning with a lot of Arsenal fans. So, you know, even before kickoff, they were very much in the mindset of we're going to win the league. And then, you know, when Gabriel Jesus runs through half the Palace team after 30 seconds, they're doubling down on that belief. So It was a long evening. It was just kind of leaving there, just thinking, please just beat Southampton. I can't be bothered. Like, and I'm definitely somebody who pedals that the first day means very little in the grand scheme of things. You only have to look at last season with, you know, Nuno Spurs beat eventual Premier League champions Man City. And that was with Harry Kane kind of still coming back into the fold. It doesn't mean a lot, but it's always better. I've got the points on the board. Performance on the board, big performance, that keeps us kind of rolling in. And we do have a big game next week, as we'll talk to you later. But for now, Jude, we started with a 4-1 win over Southampton. Can't hardly been better to start the new season.
No, can't hardly been better, mate. I mean, going 1-0 down to a James Ward-Prowse goal is... I don't know, I wasn't watching the game live, so I saw it.
I was going to say, like, do you want to go through your experience of tracking this match?
Yeah, so... So I was playing cricket on Saturday, which means there are long spells of just standing in a field. You don't have your phone in your pocket. And like it pretty much takes you all the way through from like 1 till 6, 7. And if you're not batting first up, that means you can't check your phone while the game's going on. So like thankfully we were having drinks quite a lot just because it was a really, really hot day. But like at the first drinks when we were out fielding, I managed to get a look at my phone. It just said 1-0 Southampton. And I was like, obviously this is how it's going to start, isn't it? I was like, I can't watch it, but they've gone behind to some dodgy goal. And then when I watched the game a day later, it was, James Ward-Prowse just an annoyingly like proficient footballer.
Wasn't even a set piece goal this time.
It wasn't, no, but it was just like technically like just a really good finish and maybe... There are a few little bits there where the ball could have been cleared, but yeah, it was just frustrating. And then, when we got to like the next drinks break, I think, or like an innings break, Spurs were up like 4-1. So I was sort of like, okay, well, they must have just been playing well like most of the time then and just got caught cold, which is essentially what it was. But yeah, it was much better to watch and actually see that they had control for like large amounts of the game. And it was quite a similar starting 11 to what we had at the back end of last season. But you saw with the players coming off the bench now that are like essentially finishers and squad depth is there. And very positive start to the season, especially looking at other results around the
prime. Yeah, and you're right about the lineup being pretty much similar to last season. You know, I think it was reported earlier in the week that some of the new signings might not necessarily have been available. And I assume I picked up a knock last week. Richarlison suspended. Longley, I don't think anyone's expecting to start. But Davis came back in. And I do believe there was only one change from the team that beat Norwich 5-0 in the last day last season. That was Romero coming back in for Sanchez because he was injured. But Conte didn't explain after the match why that was. But just to quickly go to the start, yeah, it was pretty much Ward-Prowse sucker punch. I thought we started quite well. We didn't like make a lot of chances. We have a lot of spells of possession where we don't make chances per se, but we get into those dangerous areas. We're looking, we're probing really well. And it was a lot like that. And then obviously you see it, you get the notification on the phone, Sampson score, and it's just like, for crying out loud, guys, for God's sake. But the best possible response, Jude, because Kulusevski, who we'll talk about plenty on this pod, with an unbelievable cross. It was very similar to the cross, I think, they put in against Arsenal in North London Derby that led to the penalty West Cedric Cresson. And Sessegnon, who was having quite a good battle with former teammate Kyle Walker-Peters, had been screamed at by Conte a few minutes before for not attacking the last line from that kind of position. Got to the last line, got the header in, 1-1.
Absolute, like, textbook, wasn't it, mate? Like, yeah, the ball in from Kulusevski is just so perfectly weighted and just and paced, and it's so awesome. Because we chatted a little bit about Ryan Sessegnon the other week, didn't we? Just saying, be good if this season could be the one where he takes off a little bit. And for him to get the first, well, our first goal of the season was mega. And yeah, just him so far forward, like literally right on the right back of the back stick there to just power it in. It's so good to see that there's just threats from everywhere. And that's his first Prem goal as well. And then four Spurs, which is like a long, long time coming. But hopefully the first of a few this season. You know, in his 45, 60-minute appearances, which looks like it's the way it's going to be for those that are out wide.
Five sub-seasons this year.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with just how he attacked it, because for so long, Sessegnon was someone who I kind of really didn't fancy because he lacked that aggression. He didn't seem like he played with that kind of mental edge to his game. He seemed like he was quite weak in the challenge, or just weak and weak mentally in general. But back in the last season, start of this and pre-season as well, he looks like he's a completely different player. This is probably one of Conte's best success stories in terms of the individuals. And this is kind of what, when we signed him, we were unsure, could he play in a back four? He's going to be a winger. This is under Poch, of course. It does seem like this was kind of the role destined for him, because it's no joke scoring, I think he scored 15, 16 goals for Fulham in the Championship when he was a teenager.
Yeah.
And it just didn't make sense for him to be a defensive-minded player, really, did it? Because if you can score goals like that, you need to be playing high up the pitch. And Conte, I think, is the perfect manager for him. And Sessegnon did come out and say post-match that he's learning a lot from Perisic, that he's a really nice guy, he's really learning from him, and it's good that they're pushing each other. And that really gives me confidence that, because they're both going to play a lot of games. Sessegnon does have injury problems sometimes. Let's not forget about that. So Perisic will come in. I think the most annoying thing I've had is people asking me about their fantasy teams leading up to the first day, where they're saying, oh, is it going to be Perisic's shot? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like, please leave me alone. I don't care about fantasy.
Yeah, I think like continuity was always going to be most likely there, wasn't it? Just because like the end of last season was still so like close. I swear it's only been like 3 or 4 months, so you might as well go with the same starting 11. And yeah, man, if Sessegnon, like, if he learns like just how to finish from Perisic, like just to have that calmness and composure in the final third, he's going to be such a threat.
He had the disallowed goal as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he had the disallowed one, and there was another way where like maybe his touch could have been better and somebody got back and made the challenge, I think. But I've just completely forgotten what I was going to say.
Something about Sessegnon. Something about finishing.
Yeah, we was on Sessegnon and finishing. It was just that it is like the first full season he's had where there's like a defined role for him, because he was never really like a left back, and they were trying to shoehorn him in there when he did play. And then obviously he went on loan once or twice. But yeah, it's like the first season he's had where he's got everything in front of him, and it's like it's his position to nail down, and it was a great start. Yeah, his little battle with Walker-Peters was quite intriguing.
It was, yeah. Because obviously, Walker Peters was linked with Chelsea in the last couple of weeks, and a lot of people were wondering if we were after a right back this window, why don't we go back in for him? I do like Walker Peters. Would be nice to have him back one day, not least for the homegrown stuff. But it was a good battle. I think Sessegnon eventually got the better of him. So,
yay
for us.
Hungry for us.
And then that after the first goal, it seemed like we really clicked into gear. Like, we were popping about a bit more. There were a couple of times where Kane was dropping deep and he managed to progress the ball quite well, even though it wasn't a vintage Kane performance. We'll come on to that in a bit. But just generally, the whole team seemed to be in unison. It was like, okay, now we've got the goal. It's basically 0-0 again. We can really go from here. And eventually, we got a goal later in the first half. Great stooping header from Eric Dier. I think that's quite underrated, the technique and the ability just to kind of get down so low onto Son's cross and convert that.
Yeah, you don't see the stoop too often, do you? It was a bit sort of, you remember Harry Kane's goal against Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final?
Yes, yeah, you're right.
It was sort of like that one. And yeah, that was his first league goal for like 3 years, apparently, which is nuts. But it's
who was his last one against Arsenal?
Yeah, it was against Arsenal, I think.
God.
In that game where we got smashed up like 4-2. And like he's been on free kicks in that sort of time at some points and stuff like that. It didn't really feel like Spurs were ever really out of control on Saturday. Now that even when they went 1-0 behind and then got the lead, like the amounts of they were still applying a lot of pressure to Southampton. Mm. Southampton weren't really getting away, and it was that clear cut chance from like a, I think it was a corner originally, and then it sort of got worked its way back.
I was gonna say it feels like we've had a couple of those in the last few months where it's not necessarily the corner, but the second delivery from the corner, which has led to a goal. But I do wonder if that's something that's also been worked on with the new set piece coach as well.
I hope so, because like it's good ball recovery. At least like you're not taking corners and then seeing like players running free with like on the counter attack with nobody there to defend them, like was it Basel Man United maybe last season?
Oh, yeah, that happened twice to United, I think.
Which was just terrible. They were recovering the ball really well, and then they still had the players in the middle to aim for. And like, Sonny didn't really do anything, it was a nice ball in, and it's like a player like for Eric Dier to score, I think it's great because he deserves like a loving every now and again for sure. And that obviously just accelerates that from supporters, because he's been really good the last sort of 6-9 months for quite.
Did you see the clip of Romero basically beating the shit out of him in the celebration? Have you not? Last season when Bergwijn scored at Leicester. And Lucas just kind of starts slapping his head or whatever. It was a bit like that. And he was doing that to Dier's head, but he also, like, it was one to, like, the ribs or, like, around the liver area as well. He's, like, proper American high school bully wailing on him.
I'm seeing it now. Yeah, good luck. Yeah. He just comes out of nowhere and just, like, lays one on, like, his head, doesn't he? He's, like, slapping him on his head as well.
Stop it,
man.
Amazing. he's gone with the undercut. The uppercut.
Good lord, that'd be a scrap and a half, wouldn't it? If those two
it would. I wouldn't want to get beating the shit out of by PC Romero, really.
No, but yeah, Eric Dier was great again. What I saw,
he was good
in that little, you know, sort of quarterback role at the back, I'd like to say. And yeah, solid defensively as well. I mean, like, I don't know how amazingly we rate the Southampton front line at the moment.
The team sheet didn't strike fear into me, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah.
But then, like, all it takes is suddenly, like, two Ward-Prowse deliveries and suddenly they're a real big threat again. But, like, looking at the team, it was sort of like, okay, Romero's going to shit out a little bit. Don't know anything about Lavia. Armstrong's not done anything up front.
Yeah.
And then Arriba played for Rangers and was quite good, in fairness, but
Broger's not there anymore, and he's the one that really kind of was the catalyst behind why we lost to them last season in this fixture.
Yeah, he's a good little player. There was no real threat. And I suppose like it was just like the perfect opener, especially for those defenders. I suppose like Romero was able to time some decent challenges and There might have been one or two not so decent ones as well, where he
There
was,
was one in the, is it
I think
the
there
second
was,
half where he's gone in quite heavy.
yeah.
Though quite glad that he made it, because there's a section of Arsenal fans on Twitter, the kind of usual suspects, who were incensed that he didn't get red for that. And there was also one in the first half, setting on a Walker Peters, where it wasn't red, it was a different, it was a yellow. Like, if it's a red, you're talking about it, like, what the hell's going on? But you know, it's always nice to wrestle those Arsenal fans
Yeah.
with calls like that.
Very easily incensed, aren't they? And then you can just sort of
It's so easy.
leave them to it, you know, just incense them, and then they're sort of just stewing, and then, well,
It's cash money, dude.
it is cash money, baby. Yeah, very true.
And then, so going to halftime, 2-1 up. The second half is probably one of the most comfortable second halves I can remember, because apart from, I think, Aribo had a chance where he forces Lloris to a low save, but that was at 4-1. It didn't feel like we were in any real danger. It felt like we were eventually going to score, and we were going to score more than once. And lo and behold, that's what happened. We got to within about 180 seconds of each other, something like
Yeah,
that.
too very quickly, yeah.
First one, really great own goal. Thank you, Mohamed Salisu.
Don't even know how he's done this,
I
man.
don't know either. It makes no sense.
No, it's like his, it sort of looked like his feet got jarred in some sort of weird, I don't know, like his knees weren't moving properly or whatever.
It's
Ends
like
up spinning it into his own net.
the physically shouldn't have happened like that. That's not how
No.
that clearance should have gone at all.
Yeah, I think a few commentators might have said, yeah, he's got that wrong. Yeah. Oh, his body shape's all over
Yeah.
the place.
You wouldn't have seen it on Twitter, but it seemed like everyone was in agreement that if they still did, like, you know, those gaff DVD video things of like football's funniest moments, whatever, like, that is going straight in top 10 right there.
Well,
Like,
like
everyone's
Benny
doing like
Hill and like Boink in
yeah.
the background and all that sort
You've
of thing.
got like 10 people doing like the commentary over it at the same time. That, like, say, so the ball comes in, it's Emerson who's playing the ball in, and then there's Salisu there. He's just like, you know, just got to clear the ball. What can go wrong? And then all of a sudden, it's in the back of his own net. You know, you're something like that. Something to that effect. You get the
Something to
idea with
that
that.
effect, yeah. Remember, like BBC Three, when they had those shows which are like England's worst 100
Yeah.
World Cup game, something
Yeah.
like that. You've got like people going like, "Well, the ball was just coming in, and I thought he was going to clear it easy."
That's
And
exactly what
then
it
they've
is,
got like
yeah.
the footage going back to him. He's like, "All right, he's somehow put it into his own net." I'm sitting there just being like, "What?
How's that happened?
Has that happened? Has he done that?"
Yeah.
It was
And then,
shit.
yeah,
It was shit.
it was shit. Yeah, no offense, Mohamed Salisu, but two gaffes in 2 years against Spurs.
It's not
We'll take
good.
that.
No, it's very average.
Yeah. And then, so almost immediately from the kickoff, straight back down Southampton's end, Emerson plays inside for Kulusevski, who we'll talk to based off of this. A really great finish, calm finish, just into like the. It's almost like Kane's speciality, you know, where he hits the very inside of the net between
Yeah.
the post and like the corner, right there. Somehow, his first ever goal at home for Spurs.
I know, how
Unbelievable.
crazy is that? Yeah, because that's what I think maybe is, how many is it now? Is it seven, six or seven?
Six or seven
Yeah,
goals, and
he's got,
yeah,
yeah,
and
for
all of
just
them
for
have come away
goals,
to this point.
and all of them were away. But so that's like, yeah, it was just one of the nice storylines of the weekend, really. And he had an absolutely dreamy game. Like I know you've been involved in some dodgy dealings and crimes over the years, but like this is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like the levels he's playing at, like every week, he's just like purely becoming a star in his own right, which is pretty ridiculous considering Spurs play with Son and Kane, like two of the most prolific players in the Premier League at the moment. But Kudu was the guy who ran the show all game, and
Yeah.
that goal was actually like it was. I think we just caught them pretty cold, but it was still so like clinically executed, if you know what I mean. Like I think Emerson, no, not Emerson, Højbjerg, I think it's Højbjerg, plays the ball first to Emerson, and then I was thinking like, yeah, he might just cross it in from there, but he actually like takes a touch and analyzes everything and just plays the ball back inside to Kulusevski, who just had that like I think he had the defender give him like the little pathway to goal into that far corner. if you know what I mean. Yeah. So like just was like, we're gonna go around the outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was such a good goal. And like his celebrations, man, he's like, I don't know, he's like a kid who's had too much fizzy drink in the summer and suddenly just like popped and all his limbs start flying all over the place. It's jokes. Yeah, he's just super exciting, isn't he? He's so good.
I love him. I really, really, really love him. I didn't expect that he was going to be anywhere near this level. And you touched on it there. He is very one-footed, but he's so technically good and intelligent that he uses that to his advantage. Like, it makes it so that he's got an extra bit to his game. He has the kind of ability to cut back onto his right, and that will in turn create a bit more space because the defender's not really expecting that. And every time he comes up with that, like, they don't really have an answer for it, because it's just like, oh, now this unstoppable guy is going onto his weak foot. It's curtains, mate.
And he doesn't lose the ball, does he? Like, the amount of times, like, he's sort of wriggling around.
Very strong.
He's really strong. But the amount of times, like, he's sort of wriggling around on the edge of the box, and you think, like, oh, I might have overrun it there. Or, oh, okay, he's going to give the ball away there. He somehow manages to, like, keep hold of it. And I think there was one just like really sort of basic turn, which was when he was on the edge of the box and he just sort of literally just turned around and started running towards Emerson. And it was just like, man, the guy keeps the, I don't want to harken on about Dembele too much, but he those two players are just players who keep the ball incredibly, incredibly well, just by the virtue of their strength almost.
Like, yeah, it's probably as close as we're going to get because of the strength aspect, which I think is really, when people go on about Dembele, I saw people comparing freaking Alex Iwobi to him the other day. Like, you know, he's a dribbly guy playing midfield. I was like, okay, Dembele wasn't just a dribbly guy playing in midfield. All right, you completely misunderstand that. But you're right. The way that Kulusevski plays, the ability just to keep the ball, no matter what's kind of thrown at him, is very Dembele-esque.
And it's Dembele just really in a forward role.
It is.
We're getting him scoring more goals. scoring more goals, Sean.
Remember the start of the 15-16 season where Poch played Dembele right wing and then he got injured?
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, that's the end of that experiment.
He played like wing under Tim Sherwood as well for like a couple of games. I think they went to Sherwood, Newcastle one time. And
yes, you're right, yeah.
They were like 4-3-3 with Dembele on the... on the left, maybe.
Tactical genius.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know why we're harking back to those times. Why would it
don't need to
remember that right now?
It was great. Do you know what? I was really, really envious that I wasn't able to go to this game, because it would have been such a... Think about it, like, there haven't been many Spurs games which have been in, like, the new stadium in the summer when it's really nice out. Not too hot. So I think there were definitely times... Went to a couple of women's Euros games over the summer for 90 min. There were times where it was too hot to enjoy the occasion at all. So it felt like Saturday was kind of perfect. It would have been nice to go there to have, you know, had a few drinks after the match in the stadium, the good feeling, just to kind of soak that all in. Because don't get a lot of those. You need to, this is what football's all about.
Yeah, exactly. Soak up the good energy around there. Yeah. It is good at the moment, and it's not always like this.
That's the thing. You never know with this club. You've got to take the good moments when they come. You've got to ride that.
You absolutely do, yeah.
I also did see there was a post on Footy Scran of a Lotus Biscoff donut, which looked quite delicious. I was like, yeah, next time I'm there.
Is that at the stadium, is it?
Yeah, I was really surprised. So next time I'm there, I'll have one of those, please.
£6.
people were getting a bit of a huff about the price of the beers now.
Yeah, I think.
Which is understandable. Yeah. Did you see West Ham prices for beers?
I didn't know. What was it?
It was roughly 120 quid for a Heineken, so you know.
Oh,
give or take.
Yeah, that's
You know, it's not racist, is it, Jude? Yeah,
no, that's just inflation in action, right? Yeah, there.
Taking a piss. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, it's not good. It's affecting.
Yeah,
even West Ham.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Spurs. I wanted to touch on man we just briefly talked about with a couple of assists. Well, fantasy Premier League assists anyway. Emerson, thought he was okay. Thought he started a bit kind of haphazard as he usually does. You know, if you go back and watch Southampton's goal. He's doing one of those long slide tackles where he thinks he's kind of using his body as a wall. And I think it was Gennaro put the cross in and he just sort of like, I'm just going to dink it over you instead, mate. And, you know, can be forgiven. He's 22, 23, still young, but generally grew into the game. I think a lot of people were quite surprised he was starting. I was expecting Doherty to start personally, because you think of Emerson, you don't think of attacking brilliance. You just think solid enough defensively, looking for content for his compilations. Job's a good one.
Yeah, this is the thing.
He probably has enough content for this week's comp, I tell you.
He hasn't. No, I was praying. I just went on the Twitter on his Twitter there. I was sort of praying it had been released, and I hadn't seen it yet. But
it's not there.
No. No, that could have given me a few good highlights to talk to to talk about him with there. But yeah, he's not sticking out like a sore thumb at the moment. Like I do remember in the Rangers game, like don't take too much from preseason, but there are games he can have where it's sort of like he's playing against us and picking the wrong option. But here he seemed just like just really calm, especially in those sort of final third areas. Where he was very, very high up the pitch, like Sessegnon. Spurs were getting in down the right, him combining with Kulusevski quite frequently. It was good to see him take a touch for that fourth goal as well, because he might have just like whipped it in, but he had a lot of time to decide what he wanted to do, and then got the assist. I think the other one would have gone down as like a fantasy assist, right? I can't remember his name now. Salisu and Goff, sorry. But yeah, I mean, like, you backed him for most surprising or improved player, and what do you think, how are your stocks looking? I hear that's a phrase.
Stocks are great right now. I should probably sell them. It's never going to get higher than this, baby. I did say that largely within, you think there aren't many players who have a huge room to improve, but I'll take being right as in when it comes, because it's not all the time, you know. It's like Spurs with happiness, dude. You've got to take it as it is.
Sometimes it's a waiting game, man. You've got to ride it out.
Yeah, that said, if Atletico Madrid arrived tomorrow with a 25 mil bid, I probably still would take it. I don't think our season should live and die whether we have Emerson, Doherty and Spence, or just Doherty and Spence.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think whoever comes into that right wing back spot, I think we'll be able to, you know, maintain the same standard as the rest of the players. Because that's what's quite good at the moment, is when, you know, players are winning games and it's good across the board. Everything's sort of like moving like clockwork. So Spence or Doherty or Lucas Moura would probably, I think they'd fit in just fine.
Yeah, for sure. Quite amazing, Jude. We've got half hour or so into a Spurs pod after a big win, and we have barely talked about Harry Kane or Son Heung-min yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both flops, mate.
Yeah.
That's why.
Frauds, can't do it. Don't need them.
They're frauds.
Sell them. Rebuild for the future.
I think it's time to buy some new strikers.
I think so.
Guys just are clearly washed and done.
It's not good enough, Jude. What's going on?
It's not good enough. No, I mean, like, I saw our player ratings weren't too generous, and you know, elsewhere on who scored and Fotlob and the latter, they weren't the standouts, but like they sort of played their roles here and there. And in the
thought they were fine,
they were fine.
They just didn't score, or Son got one assist, but you know, one assist between the two of them.
Yeah, I think a few opportunities a few weeks into the season they would have gobbled them up. Like I think that Son run where he ends up in the area and
I couldn't believe that. I was screaming at him to give it to Kane.
That wasn't great, was it? And like you can see as soon as the ball like flashes into Rose, Kane's giving it all like, why didn't you pass to me? I was right here.
Yeah.
Like,
can't blame him for that one.
Yeah, he cuts to Son on the floor being like, oh, what do you mean? Like, I was there. Could have scored. I thought they were fine. And, like, as long as you still see them, like, Son's still getting in behind quite regularly. Got an assist as well for that Dier goal.
Best player still productive.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
That's what I mean, Jude.
Yeah, exactly. If the game next weekend is the one they turn up for, that would be fine also.
I would like that.
But we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Are you... doesn't worry you at any point that
So they weren't like threatening yesterday.
Yeah, I thought they were still threatening. It was just get the just drew blanks because I know we did joke about it there, but I know people have actually sincerely been a bit worried about it because it does feel like, especially with Son, the amount of times someone will start the first 20, 25 minutes and he'll just like his touch bounces off him or his passing is really wayward and people's like, what's going on with Son? And then he'll do something like get the assist that he did or he'll score a goal. That happens quite a bit, but I guess the good thing is that we have a dependable player in Kulusevski who isn't just kind of boosting his assist numbers like people say because we have Kane on the team. Like he has been so good that we do have this dependable third option. I think Dan Kilpatrick tweeted, I think the way he worded it was, if Son and Kane are Federer and Nadal, then maybe Kulusevski is Djokovic coming into the picture, forcing his way in. And then he tries to carry on that analogy by saying Richarlison might be Andy Murray, which, you know, wouldn't be against that. That'd be quite Andy.
Couple of big titles there. Yeah, that'd be fine if he wants to be.
Take that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, sure. I don't think you need to be overly worried about them. Kane should manage to score some more goals in August this year than he usually does, just because we've started so early. So he'll end up with like 5 or 6 by the time we hit the 1st of September and everyone, it'll all be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah. So stop panicking, Jude.
Yeah, stop panicking. Yeah, and they still have their chances to score and they will score a lot throughout the season. So, yeah. Stay calm.
Yeah.
Don't need to get too aggro.
It's like the old clip of Unai Emery in Arsenal training, isn't it?
I'm screaming that all the time around certain people. We just love it.
Just going, do it about anyone. They won't get it. They're saying, what the fuck is this guy doing? just screaming calm everywhere.
Calm. Hey.
Not for any reason either. Just screaming it. No reason. Just sat at my desk.
I mean, I still prefer the clip of him just smashing crosses across the box and like people trying to head it in and obviously getting brain damage every time.
It's like they got the inflatable defenders as well. It's just like just bouncing off them sometimes.
It's like, because they're like running through the inflatable defenders. I've just no idea where this ball is coming from.
Yeah.
They're just like flinching and getting smacked.
God, what a funny club.
Yeah, what a funny
club. I'm looking forward to when they release the final couple of episodes of All or Nothing. Right now, I'm avoiding it because it just feels like it's Arteta PR and nothing really else.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of it, to be honest. So maybe at some point, but for now, I might say that for a patch where Arsenal don't do too well, and then just to
really enjoy it.
Yeah, just to really enjoy it.
Yeah. For it, our good friends Bain Haynes and Jack Hussey were saying on the Rule of Rules pod last week. Can't like just the incredulity that Arsenal fans are so excited to watch all these episodes because of how the season ended. Like, I would not have good memories from last season. Like, I would want to avoid it so much.
Yeah,
I would want to watch it. If we had a documentary for last season and we were the ones who didn't get fourth in the end, say like Arsenal won the lane and that kind of ended it. That's that. There's no way I'm watching any of that. I don't want to know about that season.
No, because they weren't happy when the season finished. With the place that they got. So that's just going to bring up old memories, isn't it? I mean, it will be framed in a certain way to present them as a squad hungry for success.
We have been through that before.
We've seen it. And whatever result they finished with in the end will be touted as a major, major success, like Spurs did with 6th.
We finished 6th. We win the Europa League. Just the elimination of the guy whose manager was in jail.
Yeah, the master plan didn't quite pay off, unfortunately. But I would greet that with similar incredulity.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Wake up. Oh, coffee.
It's not as it seems. Okay, back to Spurs. Moving on to. Got a big London derby this weekend, Jude. We are away at Stamford Bridge where we seemingly never, ever, ever win. Yeah. We went there twice last season, didn't win, didn't score any goals.
Yeah, I don't like this one. I don't like this matchup, Sean, to be honest. It doesn't really produce any fond memories, apart from Delhi a few years ago. But that's
the one time we did win.
Yeah, that was pretty
that
much
one
it.
Time. Literally
that was
one time.
glorious. That was a glorious, glorious
That was
day.
Such
it
a good
like,
game.
Oh, there is, you know, this
we came from behind as well.
Incredible. Yeah. And they just, yeah, they smashed them. But like that spell from last season where it seemed like we were playing them every week just lives in my head rent free, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And it was just watching the same game over and over again of that, of like some.
It was just one game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just the one game, actually.
One of their defenders scoring. Like, it seemed to be a different defender every time we played them, but like either Rudiger would score or Thiago Silva would score, and it just all went this sort of way, and the games are horrible to watch. There was no quality to them. And yeah, I mean, if you were to like back Spurs at any point to go and win at Stamford Bridge, now would be as decent a time as ever. But
yes. Especially when you look at the circumstances we went there last season. Like, I think, was it three of our four meetings or two of our four meetings? Son was injured.
Mm-hmm.
So that was big. We started the league game, the away league game. It was 4-4-2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the big tactical switch.
Yeah.
And then we had the Kane disallowed goal. How much does that change? Ziyech scored the amazing goal.
The penalty, yeah. Yeah.
And you think since then, Chelsea have just been on a kind of downward spiral. I wasn't impressed by them against Everton at the weekend, really. I haven't been impressed by the summer business because it feels quite scattergun and haphazard. They've brought in some good players, obviously, in Sterling and Koulibaly, but as a team, they don't frighten me on paper as much anymore. You can't trust us to go to Stamford Bridge and get a result.
No, you can't. Like, Chelsea's a weird one because it never really seems like they're in full flight at any point during the season. Mm. Like, just it doesn't seem like their attack is always firing, and sometimes they're just like horrible to watch, but then they'll still pick up a lot of points throughout the season, so it's a bit of a weird one. But I just hope the midfield, I don't think we've ever really given them a proper like battle in midfield and like in those millions of games we played them last season. So hopefully those two stand up, because I thought they were like not eye-catchingly good, but really solid against Southampton. And if they're
generally been good as a pair in the big games, especially.
They have
very good against Arsenal last season, very good against Manchester City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, it should I like saying it should be good fun, but I don't know if going to Chelsea is ever really good fun. But
football's never that simple.
No, it never is. But like, what do you think? Like, I mean, it's just a bit of a horrible one, whatever perspective I look at it from.
It is, and Hugo Lloris said it after the match against Southampton. This is going to be the real test, because it's not just the kind of the technical differences, not just the differences in terms of quality, it's the mental thing as well. Because you think over the last 6, 7, 8 years, I'd say our domestic rivals in terms of what we're competing for has been Chelsea more so than anyone else. You know, we lost the 15-16 title because we drew at Stamford Bridge. We lost them in the title race the following season. There's just lots of other points in the last decade or so, probably more so than Arsenal now, where we've been competing with them directly or indirectly. And whenever we play them, which feels like it's all the time, we never win the big ones. We never win the statement ones. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice for that to kind of be in our favour for once, because you guys like Hugo. There aren't many left from the team that fought them for the title, but definitely Lloris would have this in his mind that if Tottenham can go to Stamford Bridge and get a win, that's a huge thing. This early in the season as well, just to kind of keep that going, keep that confidence going, it would be really massive.
Yeah, it would set a massive marker for sure. Like, we're still not really sure how far Spurs can go in the title race, but like to go and win at Chelsea is always, always tricky for like even Man City, Liverpool, like we saw in that game between Chelsea and Liverpool last season. Like, Chelsea just have great like ball strikers. They can just pull a goal back from like 40 yards if they like to. It's a bit ridiculous. So they are like, they've got good individual players. Like, I wasn't impressed by them at Everton either. And hopefully we can just take advantage of maybe them being in a little bit of transition with the whole new defense, but a new look defense. From how we played against Southampton, I think we will cause them problems. And I don't think it'll be a case of us rolling over and having our tummies tickled again. Because I think there's enough bite about the Spurs team now to go to teams and hang in games when they need to, and then make their moment count. I think that's how Spurs are going to play like quite a lot this season, and how they did well towards the back end of last season as well.
Yeah.
So it is, it's an exciting one on paper, definitely.
I think in Adelaide for me is that it feels like we're going to be the neutrals' favourites going into it to win, because obviously you look at the window we've had, the upward trajectory compared to Chelsea's downward trajectory over the last 4 or 5 months after the sanctions and everything regarding that and the takeover. It feels like Spurs are going to be a lot of people's pick. It'll be like, oh yes, I can see Spurs nicking this 2-1 without these people haven't lived through the real kind of Spurs Stamford Bridge experiences. So they don't know what it's like. It's the same with a lot of our away performances in big games, because whenever we're tipped to do well, we never win. Like, you look at last season where people thought we'd go to Old Trafford and maybe get something, and we lost that. You look at historically, we go to Anfield and with a better team, haven't won there. Same with the Emirates Stadium. Like, even with our last win at the Emirates in the League Cup, that wasn't expected because we'd only lost there a couple of weeks before, but we were favourites for that one because of the season we'd had. Like, whatever people think is going to happen, the opposite tends to happen.
Yeah. Even like when we went to Chelsea in 2016, and they were like 11th and we were second.
Yeah. Can't worst Chelsea team in 20, 30 years still couldn't beat them at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah. And it was going to script for like half an hour and they were 2-0 up, and then scrappy goals happen and belters from 30 yards happen as well. So
I would say the caveat is like the level that we've been at the last maybe 15, 20 Premier League games that we've played is probably, it's a much higher standard than a lot of Spurs teams in recent years. Like, if you're looking just like those isolation periods, you're looking at maybe the team that finished second in the Prem, you're looking at team the following year for stretches when we came third. This is better than the Champions League final team, because that wasn't about being good, that was about the other kind of intangibles and whatnot. That was
emotion.
That's in itself. But apart from that, this is probably a stronger bid for a long time. You look at Kane and Son, we have two of the best players in the world. I'd have to sit down and do a ranking at some point to see where I have Kane and Son in the world, but I'm thinking at least top 30. At very least. I think I might have to do this at some point. Who I'm going to rank, because I want to know, because obviously, if we,
for sure.
Yeah. So I have to do that at some point. But this is my point. We're better equipped now to do it. We feel like we're starting to get that big game experience under Conte. I think the Liverpool game at the end of last season was a real testament to that. So
yeah, they're entertaining to watch as well.
Yeah,
though there were doubters at the start when Conte came in, saying Mourinho light and all that, but
it's nothing like that.
But the goals that we score are like, they're often based on moments of individual quality, but there's also awesome moves where we cut through the middle of teams, like just through central midfield through Højbjerg, and Kulusevski's there to finish it off. So
yeah,
the amount of times we've thrashed teams like in the last 6 months has gone up as well. Like the games when we've just run riot against Everton.
We score loads of goals. And that's not just because of Kane and Son, because if it was because of Kane and Son, then Nuno would have been a success.
Yeah, 100%. And like the system just exploits space so well. It just makes use of every like patch on the field by getting Sessegnon and Emerson so high up. And like, you've just got like the orchestrators, like Ben Sanko as well in the middle, who just like keeps everything ticking over, just really quietly but really efficiently. Like Spurs haven't such a position where they struggled recently; they just haven't managed to get any control. But like here, it's just like little turns around the corner or a little flick, and it just gets Spurs moving so quickly.
Yeah.
When you've got them moving quickly with Kane on the ball and like Sessegnon and Emerson on the wing, and you've got Son in the middle as well, it's like, what's going to fucking happen here? It's great. It's such good fun to watch.
I like it as well, because it does feel like, if we go through my picks for top 4 this year, the top 4 teams, City, Liverpool, Spurs, Arsenal, it feels like we all have different styles, and I really like our style right now, because it's a bit direct, but it's a bit kind of intricate as well. You can see where they've been drilled, but you can see where the ingenuity of individuals comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really fun to watch. Like, obviously, you got City, who are starting to bore teams to death, so Glad we're
Yeah,
not
that was a
like
tough
at that
watch,
level.
wasn't it? That really
It was really
was.
horrible yesterday. It was a real slog, Jesus.
Yeah, and they just had the moments from Haaland where that boss was
Liverpool built
scary.
on the kind of rock and roll gegenpressing philosophy, but not quite as intense in recent years. Arsenal looking good on the ball, but still quite fragile off it. Whereas I think the difference with us is that we look really solid whenever we want to be.
Yeah, 100%.
There's real joy in that, like being able to be defensively solid without just throwing 10 men behind the ball as well.
Yeah, and you
Gives
know
me
that that's
endorphins, dude.
yeah for sure. But that's like the foundation to when Spurs have had good years, they've been really solid at the back. So like when they score, when they 87 points or whatever it was, 16, 17, they conceded the fewest amount of goals in the league, I think. And I think they were always good defensively on in those poch years, but now it's like it's just like a different sort of defending. It's so authoritative and like it intimidating, and it's just yeah, blood and thunder, cold hot hearts and cold heads, like the man said, which is
Should get that framed.
yeah, that would be a good little
Make some t-shirts out of that, dude. Get it patented.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? We can
Write
make
this down, dude. We're
this
going
find
Dragon's Den.
the side hustle we've been looking for
This
fucking years. We've got it now.
is how we
Merch.
make our money.
Yeah, gotta get the merch.
This is how we do it. No one steal our idea, please.
I don't have the business acumen to get something like that off the ground, unfortunately. So if anyone wants it, it's probably theirs. I won't put
Don't
anything
say
on it.
that. Giving up millions here, Jude.
The 5 million, yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay. I think I'm all spursed out for
Yeah,
now.
until next week.
Till
Like,
next week when we've smashed Chelsea 4-0.
fingers crossed, man. Fingers
That'd
crossed.
be class.
How good would that be?
That'd
Great
be
fun.
amazing.
Yeah. Flip them all the
Let's
bird.
go.
Let's go. Let's have
Yeah,
it,
let's go.
you
Cool.
Chelsea.
Right. Okay. Thank you for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't subscribed, please do so, and please leave a rating. It really helps us out. And we'll see you next time, hopefully after we've smashed up Chelsea.
Tottenham on a Tuesday.